I don't know, I just feel like I should just stop, you know, just stop thinking about it, you know, but I can't. Maybe I've seen too many movies, you know? Love at first sight.
Anyone call?
No.
Thanks.
What do you think about love at first sight? You think you can love somebody just by looking at them? But the thing is, man, it's like I felt like I knew her. You know? You ever get that feeling?
Yeah, like, you've seen her before, you just know her. Man.
Yeah.
It's a feeling. But actually, you really don't know her.
Yeah, I don't, right?
That's right.
I felt like I did, though.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And once again, we're praying that this doesn't break.
Yeah. Although Douglas is drinking, so the chances of it breaking have just dramatically gone up.
I mean, we're almost at episode 100, but we're still hoping we don't break it. I mean,
we don't reach the 100
yet. Masters. We don't hit 100 yet. We're like 4 away. This is 97.
What?
Why would I count?
Okay.
Anyways, moving in with what we've been watching, I think I'll kick it off because I've seen a few really interesting films and a few really bad ones. I'll start with the really good ones because it'll make me happy. I saw Batman Year One, which is the animated film.
Bryan Cranston's in that one.
You know, I didn't even recognize whoever he is. I'd guess he's Gordon.
Well done, sir.
I didn't recognize any of the voices, really, because I didn't know who they were, and I was just enjoying them. You know, sometimes when you watch animated films, when they're not painstakingly obvious who is who?
I was reading about it. I know there are some other big people in there.
I think Eliza Dushku is Catwoman in
yes,
that.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
He said big people.
She was in
Joss Whedon. It's based on the comic book Batman Year One by Frank Miller, and I love the comic book, and it's an hour-long animated feature, and it's actually really good. I love the animation style. The story continues to be fantastic from the comic book. If you like Batman and you want to see another origin story, please go and watch it.
Okay, yeah, if you like Batman. But only if.
I also saw Assault on Precinct 13, the 1976 version by John Carpenter. And I know Damien and John Carpenter aren't the best of friends at times.
Yeah, that's right. He makes bad movies.
I like the new version. New version is good.
The new version had Ethan Hawke. That wasn't very good. So
you didn't like it?
Nope.
I don't know, man. I enjoyed that movie.
When
I prefer this version.
Okay. I prefer
this version to the new version, not only because it's better in every single way, but because it doesn't have Lawrence Fishburne as a fat bastard being annoying. What I love about films like this, films from the 70s like this, is number one, unlike the remake, it doesn't make this attack on the precinct feel as planned out as it was. The movie puts it forward as a lot more random instance that occurs due to something that's none of their fault.
What you're saying, as with most John Carpenter movies, not much planning was done. Essentially. They just did something slapdash. Is that what you're saying to me?
You're putting it in such a way that makes it sound like it's a bad thing. It was a movie in which people did violent things and there was amazing practical effects in that violence, which is what John Carpenter movies generally are. They're usually short, very action-packed, they don't do a lot of talking, and it builds up really well. Something I found really interesting thinking about it is when you watch films from the 70s, and I mean, I might be generalizing a little bit at this point, whenever you saw a bad guy in movies like that, they always look like regular people, unlike movies today where they're dressed overly cool or they have the mustache. Like, whenever you're watching a movie today, the moment the bad guy comes on screen, you know he's the bad guy.
So all people who have mustaches are bad guys in modern film, is what you're saying to me?
Yes, they have... People, whenever they have a mustache, it makes them a bad person. I'm sure you're a bad person, Douglas, because I know you probably have one.
Am I a bad person?
Yes, Damian? Which means you have a mustache.
You don't have a mustache, but that's still furry and that's either.
Alright, fair enough. Fair enough. So I'm like, so essentially what you're saying is I'm like a bad person from the 80s or from the 70s.
Pretty much, yeah. No, okay. Not the 70s.
Not the 70s, not the 80s.
70s. The
80s. Alright, cool.
No, but seriously, like, guys, like Damien, like when you watch older movies, they look like regular people.
No,
most
not
of the
really.
Time.
They usually have giant scars and talk 2 decibels lower than everybody else in the movie for no apparent reason.
All right, I guess I'm barking up the wrong tree. All right, I also got to watch Real Steel this weekend.
Is it
the
good?
New movie,
that's out here, Joe.
Hugh Jackman. It is. It is not very good, but it is very fun. It is very fun. They basically made the fighter mashed together with Iron Giant.
I never watched Iron Giant. Is that good?
Nothing
you've
said.
You haven't seen Iron Giant, Douglas?
I haven't. I've seen bits and pieces here and there, but I haven't actually watched it.
There were better cartoons to watch.
Yeah.
The movie is fun, right? Because, like, the way you'll feel about that movie is the way that I think about, and I feel like I'm bringing up this movie too often now, Airborne. I remember the first time we talked about Airborne, Damien was telling us a story.
Yeah, I realized.
We really should not have told him about this movie.
At any point ever. Because now he's just drawing parallels to this movie that have no, there's just no way.
No,
Airborne is
that
timeless
a story.
Classic. And this you
I'm running it into the ground. David, you're telling us a story about how you made some girl watch the movie with you. And she was looking at you like, why are we watching this movie? And by the end of the movie, she was there cheering on all the people in the film.
Right.
And that's basically how you feel watching Real Steel.
That's because I make terrible decisions.
Look, halfway through this movie, they make the little child and the robot dance together in sync. The movie has bad things about it, very bad things about it. But at the same time, you find yourself cheering at the end of the movie. And it's a fun movie. I enjoyed it.
Sure.
I guess the last movie I want to talk about is this new documentary that came out this year called Buck. Which is about this guy who is a horseman.
His name Buck?
His name is Buck.
Oh wait, I think I've seen a trailer for this movie. Is he like a horse whisperer kind of guy?
He is the guy who inspired the Horse Whisperer and was on that film talking with Robert Redford throughout the production of that film. They talked about it in the documentary. And it's generally this guy who had a horrible childhood and grew up into this world of horses and learned how to deal with them in a very empathetic manner, because when they talk, I don't know how much you guys know about horses and horses with humans and how we use horses and we train them to work with us, but
horses
generally
are
people
with 3 legs, right?
Those are the animals. You've been playing too much Red Dead. There's a very violent aspect to it, an abusive aspect to that process, and he basically shows you a more peaceful manner in creating a relationship with a horse so that the two of you can work together and be one. And it's an interesting documentary and an interesting view on life, but at the very same time, if you're not into horses or any of that, you're going to just find it as boring information. And that's basically what I've been watching. I have another movie, but I don't want to admit to have watched it.
Tell us, what is it?
I went and I saw The Big Year.
The new
Steve Martin and Jack Black movie.
Was it at least a surprisingly good movie? So that you can say that you are vindicated or something?
Let's put it this way. I didn't completely hate the movie as much as I hate movies like Sucker Punch.
So it's a bad movie then?
It's not good. But it's not venom spewing worthy hatred.
Are you telling us this to preempt the fact that you were going to tell us that you have a new lady friend? It's the only reason you would go to this movie. No?
No. No such thing.
You're just stupid. Alright.
Yeah, I'm just stupid as usual. Yes. So Damien, what have you been watching?
Yeah, So I didn't see The Green Lantern when it came out because everyone said, this movie's terrible. And everyone was right. This movie's terrible. And it didn't have the decency to allow me to find this out over time. And the movie started, there was a terrible intro with bad CG, and then there was a second opening with this child and his father. And then there was a third opening when they flew planes. And in the third opening, they did something I've never seen before. They had a flashback to a scene we saw couldn't have been more than 180 seconds previous. And the flashback was in black and white. Which also made very little. I mean, we just saw the scene. And they put it in black and white. And went, oh, do you remember this? And I realized at that point that me continuing to watch this movie was a mistake.
Look, Damien, you have to understand, what's his name, the guy who directed the film, Martin Campbell.
Yes.
He took a page out of the notebooks of Lars von Trier and, what's his name, Martin Scorsese. I was listening to the BBC film program the other day, where they interviewed Lars von Trier about Melancholia, and he told a little story about how he met Scorsese, and Scorsese was complimenting him on what a wonderful feat it was when he saw Antichrist. And he was talking about the intro to that movie, and I'm sure we all remember the introduction to Antichrist. Black and white, slow motion filmmaking. And Lars von Trier is like, how else could you go wrong, until he realized he was talking to the man who directed Raging Bull, which did the same thing. So Martin Campbell decided, all the arty highfalutin people do it, I have to do it too. So I have to put in a black and white slow motion scene, and then the art crowd will like my movie.
Can I leave now?
I stopped listening a long way through.
Okay. Alright, so this movie is terrible. Despite having a lot of good actors in it, sans Blake Lively, that's her name. This bitch can't act, and she's
which
not
one is Blake
pretty.
Lively?
The girl in
the girlfriend.
She can't act, and she's not that pretty. No one should watch this. And if they make another one, which I don't know if it made any amount of money, I don't care. If they make another one, I have two suggestions. One, shoot whoever wrote the first one and hire somebody new. And two, please use less. I know this is blasphemy in 2011. Use less CG. Please. I mean, you guys went overboard and it wasn't pretty. So let's hire ILM and tone it down a bit. Because there's a lot of bad things in this movie and it's not really worth getting into. Right, so I saw Midnight in Paris, Woody Allen's new movie, and it was good. It's not as good as the internet tells me it is, but it was pretty enjoyable. Douglas seems to be itching to talk about this movie, so it's clear that he will like it a lot more than I like it. But It was good. Enjoyed all the performances. Definitely enjoyed the soundtrack. It was pretty good. And I have some issues with his depiction of some of the people. But he's a crazy person. I kind of assumed that I was going to. So, it's really good. Everyone should see it. I fear that it will win a boatload of awards this year because it speaks directly to Hollywood writers in particular, and it is technically a period movie, which is always a shoo-in to get awards. But we'll see. Douglas?
I want to throw out a cameo award from this movie to Adrian Brody.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a rhinoceros.
That was a great moment in this. Like, I really just didn't want to talk about it when we talked last week.
Right.
Because I didn't want to ruin any of those moments for you guys. But yeah, that was my favorite moment when they were going through all of those characters.
My favorite moment was watching Martin Sheen tell the curator of that she was wrong.
Holy He's a little
shit.
Pedantic, isn't he? It's a perfect word. Anyways, Douglas, you wanted to say something. I'm sorry.
What? No, not really. I mean, I guess I could tell you what I watched this week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Always. Okay.
Well.
Just start with the movie that we're talking
about. Alright, fine.
Tell me how much you love it.
Alright, so I watched Midnight in Paris, and it's an alright movie. I'm not as enamored with it as you think I am.
Okay.
It's a decent movie. As with Andrew, I really did enjoy Adrian Brody
in
this
movie.
Yes,
that was really good.
That was hilarious. And I know that there were a lot of things that were said in this movie that just went over my head. You know, because I'm just not that...
A lot of the writers.
Yeah, I'm not that big a movie slash writer snob.
A lot of them were artists.
Yeah,
rivals.
I mean, I knew, for example, you know, Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, clearly, you know, those kind of guys. No, I've never heard of him.
Who is that? The Rhino Man.
No, I know, actually, I actually do know who Salvador Dali is. A crazy ass surrealist.
Oh my God.
But this movie was pretty decent. Actually, I don't think there's much else to say about this movie. It's, I think Andrew played it a little bit too much last week.
Didn't he say it was number one?
He didn't go that
far. No, I didn't go that far.
He didn't go
that far,
but he went pretty far.
Yeah.
But no, this movie is decent. I don't think it would be top 10 decent, but I don't know. It's a good movie in a year where I haven't really watched that many good movies. So.
Oh, this is definitely a top 10 film right now.
Well, maybe by default, as I said, you know, I have watched lots of good movies this year.
Has been good to us.
Yeah.
Not yet,
anyway. Exactly.
We're getting there.
But, okay, so other than that, I have one movie that I want to talk about also, but let's talk about TV shows, because as you know, I watch much more TV than movies. First off, I've watched and caught up with Homeland, which I think is highly overrated by anybody who says this is a good show. This show... I guess it has some potential, but it's not that great.
I still haven't watched the second episode.
What I've read about it, it smacks of desperation. No, from the people, right? I guess because this year, this fall season of TV shows has been pretty much across the board terrible.
Why?
Anything
no,
that is,
there's some good shows.
Yes, okay. There's some. Oh, but... This
but that's
the
how it's always
no,
is. There's never no. There is
Douglas,
never a majority of good shows ever.
I
ever.
No, I'm not talking about a majority. I'm talking about good shows. All right. Every year we can look forward to watching certain shows on TV, right? But then there's other shows that come up that we go, yeah, this is pretty good. I'm not going to watch it, but I can see why people watch it. There is Up All Night.
I love that show.
And what else, though?
What else? It's going to take me a while to think, but hang on. I mean, no, I know. There's Prime Suspect. I love Prime Suspect.
Fine.
There is... I haven't watched a lot of the TV shows.
No, we did. Because we talked about all of them.
Alright, you know what? Let me go back to my...
There's person of interest.
No. No.
Andrew?
No.
Let's just say that I have to talk about that show in a second. And, nope. Let's leave it for then.
Okay. I mean, even if we look past the bad technology nonsense that they go through in that movie, in that TV show, there's a whole lot of nothing happening in that TV show.
I'm sorry, I think you're kind of right on the TV show.
There's people who don't like, in terms of drama, there's Prime Suspect, but there's people who don't like that show for whatever reason. For those people, there's, like, they are SOL. There's nothing to watch.
I would say,
so
I would
almost think that's even reasonably good. People are hyping up as if it is, because they want...
I would almost count Dexter as a new show because Dexter was horrible last season, and you can't say otherwise. This season, the first two episodes are fantastic.
It's good.
And I know.
Douglas, have you seen the first episode aired last week of Enlightened? This new comedy with Laura Dern on HBO.
I have. The jury is still out on that show for me because. That first show was 100% an introduction to the series, and you know that what the show will be is not what that first episode was. That first episode is really just getting you into the situation, and then you have to move forward from there. So I don't really know what to say about that show yet.
Anyways, what else have you been watching?
What else have I been watching? I've watched the first episode of a new show on Stars called Boss, starring Kelsey Grammer. And have you seen the show, Andrew or Damien?
No, I don't think I've even heard of it.
Okay, well, it's a show about Kelsey Grammer is the mayor of Chicago, and he's just found out. Actually, that's your introduction to the TV show. Is him not even in a doctor's office, but in some sort of abandoned warehouse, getting told by a doctor that he has essentially a terminal illness. Similar to, say, Parkinson's or, excuse me, no, not quite cancer, the one that makes you forget, I don't know why I can't remember the name right now, but one of those types of Alzheimer's, thank you, one of those types of diseases, but it's, like, much rarer and all sorts of fuchsias. And essentially that is now the backdrop for him doing his job, is really what this first episode at least was about.
So he's going to be a good mayor,
you
know, that he knows he's going to die and he has to leave a legacy.
Oh no. This guy is, I don't want to say he hasn't shown any corrupt aspects to him really yet, but he's definitely what you would consider to be a politician on a television show. He's conniving. Exactly. And so I'm not sure how to read this show yet. To tell you the truth, the first episode wasn't that great, I didn't think. I guess technically it was great. It had good acting and it was a decent drama. No, I don't think he is. But you know what? And this is something that I know is going to draw Andrew and is going to draw you just in another direction away from it. Is that it's this guy's highly involved. He directed the first episode. I don't know if he'll direct anymore. He produced it. I think he had something to do with the creation of it. But Gus Van Sant directed and did the producing for this movie. This
did
show.
He just ejaculates. What was that? I have none of that.
I think I need to find this show right now.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with it for a little bit because. I'm loyal to that guy. I really do love Gus Van Sant and his movies. And
as long as it's not Jerry.
I love Jerry. But as I said, this show was technically proficient, and I think there was just... Maybe I just wasn't in the mood for this type of drama, but that's really what it was. It was a drama, and...
You can't bring yourself to not like a Van Sant.
I can't. It's just like New Girl. I have to watch it same way. Damn right, I'm still watching New Girl. Other than that, what have I seen? I have seen. Okay, we have to talk about this show called Person of Interest. Because the show is horrible.
Yes.
It's disgusting. First of all,
yeah.
So first of all, it's clear that these guys watched White Collar. and said, I'm going to make a worse version of this that not only is worse but doesn't make any sense. Because, so you're telling me that.
The server, Douglas. The servers.
First of all.
Once again, I still haven't watched episode 2 of this.
No, let's not even get into episode 2. Let's start with episode 1.
I actually
gave it a good chance, Andrew. I watched all 3 episodes before deciding not to watch this ever again. So
I like Jim Caviezel, but that's pretty much it.
Because, listen, Andrew, how is it? Are you seriously telling me that a 1-minute conversation will convert me as a homeless ex-CIA agent who has lost all of his family and friends through some sort of freak accident into a well-shaved do-gooder?
I jumped off board before we got to that conversation. And the second I saw that setup, I went, this is going to be garbage, isn't it? And sure enough.
Secondly, now, I know this is nitpicking, but I would like to just point out to the creators and the whoever is involved in this television show that Bluetooth is a short range.
No, Douglas.
Yes, it is.
No, I watch Person of Interest.
Shut up. Bluetooth is a short range wave means of communication. If I am more than a block. Hold on, sorry. If I am more than 5 steps away from this person, I cannot connect to their phone via Bluetooth. So, how is it that Jim Caviezel is monitoring all of these people from
it's
blocks
the government.
Away and hearing their conversation via Bluetooth? How is that happening?
Servers and the government. I've never heard so much talk about servers in my life. It's all garbage. What are these people talking about?
Yeah, no.
What government program where?
Andrew, I mean, and barring this nitpicking, this show is not interesting. What will happen is, once per episode, they'll realize that the show is not good, and so they'll try and throw in an okay action scene. And that's about it.
I like when they switch to the CCTV cameras.
Yeah.
And all they do is make the image worse. I love that they think that that makes me more engaged by making
no actually I don't think
look worse.
I don't think that is what they try to make you engaged with. I think how they engage you is that they draw a yellow square around people's faces.
That is
I think
true.
I think that's the one,
because computers do that.
Yeah,
do they? Mine has never.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
Anyways, what else, Douglas? Move on.
Right.
I don't want any more flogging with Person of Interest.
One other thing I've seen this week. I actually just finished watching it before the podcast was. I almost said Person of Interest again. It was The Counterfeiters.
Ah.
Which was a pretty decent movie.
I've been meaning to watch that movie for
pretty
a while.
Awesome.
Yeah, this movie is about a bunch of counterfeiters. Well, I shouldn't even call them that. it's based in Germany during the Holocaust, and essentially what is happening is the Germans, I guess, are running out of money, and so they need to create money, and
they
can't borrow
from anyone.
Exactly.
Because they do have a lot of
friends.
Kind of like Greece.
They didn't
right
have
now
friends.
Yo, Greece in trouble.
Really?
So what they do is they get a bunch of the folks that they're holding in the camps that they know to be skilled in whatever part of counterfeiting is necessary, whether it's photographers or printers or whoever it is. And the head of this, I guess, group is like one of the greatest counterfeiters ever from Germany before, in like 39, before shit went down. And it's really, you know, a story about these guys getting, doing the work, being treated how you think they'd be treated as Jews in, you know, a work camp. And kind of trying to survive. And, you know, you've got certain people saying, boy, yes, we're being treated better because they, you know, they get nice beds and they don't get beat up as much, but they get pissed on every once in a while. It's not so bad.
So it's like a Walter White Gustavo Fring's relationship, you're telling me?
Not really.
Oh.
By the way, did you see that ending? Have you seen the last episode?
I'm sure Damien hasn't reached that far, have you?
No.
But have you seen that, Andrew?
I have.
That was amazing. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I kind of assume that Breaking Bad is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know. Which is why, you know, I don't think that me saying anything like this. Because Andrew's acting as if I'm going to give away everything.
It's not like if... I don't have the issue with spoilers that most people have. Still going to watch it, and if it's good, I'm still going to enjoy it.
But yeah, this movie is really good. It's a good drama, and the most important thing is the soundtrack was really good.
There we go, there's a clincho.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't think I watched too much. No, I watched. We talked about Midnight in Paris, right? So that's about it.
Nobody, baby, but you are.
Hey, hey, hey. Ma, 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 ma.
Nobody, baby, but you are.
Trailers. I guess the big movie that we have to talk about because it's the big movie is Joss Whedon's Avengers. Trailer came out.
Wait. I'm going to do a test here. Douglas,
no.
Michael Fassbender is coming in a new movie.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to watch it?
Probably.
I think we found the winner. Which trailer is the one
I was getting to shame.
I'm looking forward to the most. In fact, in order of these trailers, Avengers is last of the movies I want.
No, that's
to
why
see.
I wanted to do Avengers first. Anyway, shame. Alright, shame.
So Avengers. We're talking about
right, Avengers.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. So when we needed them, they could fight the battles that we never could. Gentlemen, what are you prepared to do?
Your boy Joss Whedon has decided to test the limits of his power. Can he, being Joss Whedon, prevent a movie such as Avengers from being made? Can he get a 10-pole movie cancelled?
Yeah, because, I mean, he's managed to do it with almost every one of his TV shows. I think he's going for the win.
Right.
That's what he's doing. Did he actually direct Firefly's show, Serenity?
Yes, he did.
Yes,
he directed the, as he does with all of his TV shows, he directs
the movie Serenity.
Yeah, he directed Serenity.
Which is why it made no money. Hey, a movie from a cancelled show. No one watched.
A cancelled show that even after trying to watch it, up to now I don't watch it.
If only they could make a Dollhouse movie.
Damien, don't play with my heart like that.
Yeah, that would be 20, 30, $40.
$40.
No, they have to pay to be in the theater, so you have to subtract your.
No, I'm talking about gross.
Gross.
Andrew would watch it 4 times. $40. On
no,
DVD.
I'm pretty sure.
The DVDs,
I'm 26. Pretty sure that for a movie like that, the theater would come at a discounted price, so half that, so $20.
Alright. Plus the DVD, $26.
Anyways, guys, there's Avengers on
right,
the table.
Avengers.
Right. We have been plagued with Marvel movies that continually hint every chance they can at the fact that eventually they're all going to come together and try and be friends. Now they've finally done it. The question I ask is, when the movie finally comes out, will they stop interlinking all of their films?
No.
Damn it.
There has to be an Avengers 2, but before that, each of these guys are going to have their own separate movies again. I don't know if you've heard, Disney bought Marvel. They didn't buy them for $2 billion that they could not do this.
You know what's funny? Is in principle, I actually think that what they're doing with their movies is a good thing.
Yeah,
in principle.
Yeah.
Right? It's just that I wish they made good movies. And
more of the movies had been better movies.
Yeah, because I mean, it's kind of hard to debate that Iron Man wasn't a good movie. That was a good movie. Hulk was a decent movie. But
Hulk
when you look at movies like
Iron Man,
like Thor, and I know that I'm going up against a big wall here because you guys loved it.
No, there's no law. Thor, I like Thor.
All right, fair enough. But when you look at movies like Thor, which are... Thor was bad. It's clear that this movie is going to be bad, though. This looks horrible. And you know what's the worst part about this is? The worst part about this trailer, the worst part about this movie, is that I know, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it is, I'm still going to watch it. Not only am I going to watch it, I'm still going to go to the theater to watch it. Why? Because...
Blowing.
I'm just...
Having shit blow up looks better on a giant ass screen. Alright. I have a lot of issues with this trailer. First of all, this trailer is 90 seconds, 2 minutes, something like that. And has told me nothing. Which... Getting that done in an Avengers, in a trailer like Avengers, is impressive for you to find enough footage. Because there's a lot of footage in this trailer. They cut to pretty much all the Avengers, because they have to, I guess. They have to show us all the people that are going to be in it. But there's shit blowing up. And then there are the Avengers, and the trailer ends. Sam Jackson said some cryptic shit about forming some organization of special people. And there was a joke somewhere in the trailer.
I love that, the joke.
And then the trailer ended.
It's ridiculous. That joke was amazing. I mean, seriously, Robert Downey Jr. is going to be like,
he made Thor laugh, but we can avenge the laugh.
What the hell? Come on.
I remember the very first Iron Man trailer.
Yeah.
When he had the rockets blow up the mountain, and then he became Iron Man and flew through the sky. Nothing else happened. Everyone loved that trailer, and then the Iron Man 2 trailer, they pretty much did the same thing. They had him talk for like a solid 30 seconds to what's her face,
and then jump out of the plane.
Of the plane. And then have him fly off somewhere in the distance. Nothing else happened. Right at the very end, they had him and War Machine shooting at shit. But they didn't show you what they were shooting. They just had one decent scene. And then clips of awesome shit happening. There was clips in the Avengers trailer. Nothing awesome was happening. They just had lots and lots of clips. I don't know who the bad guy is.
No, yeah, you do.
It's in the trailer.
Loki is in the trailer.
Yes.
So I know that Loki must be the bad guy.
Clearly he's the bad guy. But they don't tell me that. I don't know that. I know Loki is in the movie. That is it. I know Iron Man, Hulk, and the guy that shoots arrows, and
Hawkeye.
And all these people are in the movie. I also know that Sam Jackson still has one eye in this movie.
You sure?
Pretty much.
Sure, he hasn't grown another one.
Pretty much, I have no idea what is happening.
I think they make him a bionic eye. Tony makes him one just for fun.
Avengers trailer. I don't understand. It's so boring. The trailer is boring. I don't get it. Even Green Lantern.
No,
I told you the Green Lantern trailer was shit.
What? No, Andrew, no. You shut up. Because both you and Damian were salivating over that trailer.
That trailer was a good trailer.
I was the only one that said that trailer was good.
Didn't we see them fighting anything in this trailer? What did they fight in the Avengers trailer?
Nothing. In the Avengers trailer, Iron Man did fly out of the ocean.
You did see Thor try to beat down Captain America.
Okay, Okay. Yeah, this reminds me. Can we
Thor made naughty eyes at Iron Man. Did.
Alright, so moving on.
Yes.
The next trailer I want to talk about is for the first film, I believe, by Julia Leigh, brought to us by Jane Campion, a name that I know because I hear people talk about it, but I've never actually seen any of her films. Sleeping Beauty.
She's done Bright Star. That's her last one. And apparently wasn't that good. Or at least, I don't even know what to say. I've heard it's not good, but I know it almost got awards, and the only reason it didn't get nominated was because technically it's a ripoff or something.
Thank you for coming. Such a pleasure to see such a unique beauty. Let me tell you how I think we should proceed. I'll describe the job, and then if you're interested, we'll discuss particulars. You will be working with other girls, some of whom will have more responsibilities. There is room for promotion. We rely on mutual trust and discretion, and I'm obliged to tell you there are heavy penalties, very heavy penalties for any breaches of discretion. Am I clear?
Anyways, Sleeping Beauty, which I believe it has something to do with the classic fairy tale, but it looks like it's now in a whorehouse and looks really pretty. And there's Emily Browning, which means Damien has a lot to talk about.
I like her.
What did you think?
You see, the thing about this trailer is, first off, I don't understand what's happening. I don't quite get what the movie is going to be about. Because, as you say, right, you said the things.
Is working today. Shut up.
You said the things, right? You say it's clearly in, you know, a late night establishment.
They're called whorehouses.
Okay,
get it right.
All
right.
Brothels.
Okay. So they're in some sort of brothel or something like that. This Emily Browning is sleeping with older men, or at least in bed with older men. I mean, there's an interview. I'm not sure what else there is to this movie. I don't know what this movie really is about. I kind of expected it to have something to do with the fairy tale, but to tell you the truth, I half believe that it doesn't. I have no way to tell whether I'm right or wrong, because this trailer tells me nothing about the movie.
If Disney sues them, you're right.
There you go. But the fact is, I really don't know what to do based on this trailer, and the movie doesn't have enough names for me to want to watch it. Emily Browning has been in zero good movies over the last 10 years. She was in Lemony Snicket's that I liked. What else has she been in that I liked?
I don't know.
She hasn't been in that many movies.
Exactly, because she's bad. She was in... I remember, she was in this bad horror movie with Elizabeth Banks.
She's alright.
She's barely
which
legal, alright?
Which horror movie was Elizabeth Banks in?
Some to do with her stepmother and... I don't know. It was bad.
Okay. It sounds bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright.
And she was in Sucker Punch and...
Let's not talk about Sucker Punch.
We can all... barring Damien, because Damien likes
right.
Emily
right.
Browning
no, it's her
a little
fault.
Bit too much.
Was bad, right?
But
right, it's her.
I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm saying she's in bad movies. Yeah. And I haven't seen her in anything good since the last time I watched her in a good movie. I was still in college. This would have been early 2005. That's 6 years ago. She still wasn't legal yet, and she barely is now. So... So Damien, you can now flip the coin and be effervescent and
Andrew, what was the name of that shitty movie that Soderbergh made with the porn star?
I don't like how you're talking about my man Soderbergh.
Right. So this is essentially what the Girlfriend Experience wishes it was going to be. This is the movie that you'd get if Soderbergh hired a real actress and told
I want to stab Damien
some
right
kind
now.
Of story. I'm hoping that this is essentially the girlfriend experience, except orders of magnitude better. And by the trailer, it looks that way. It looks better. And I don't understand how Douglas has decided, quite arbitrarily, that because this girl has been in bad movies, that this trailer isn't good. When we've seen trailers like this, and falling over ourselves to watch it. I can guarantee now that if it was some other actress, Douglas would be having no problem recommending this movie. Right? If Zooey Deschanel...
No, I disagree with that. Because
the trailer wouldn't have been good if Zooey Deschanel was...
The thing about this trailer, the thing that I really don't like about this trailer is that it tells me nothing. Right? I mean, yes, I agree with you that there are trailers... Hold on.
They recruited her for a brothel and...
But what else?
They told you that how they made the deals.
How did they do that?
She says,
because maybe
she
I just
says,
missed
I call that. You, I call you with the details and you tell us whether or not you're interested.
Oh, I don't even remember that part. Okay, no, fair enough. Clearly, there are pieces of the trailer that I'm missing in my head, but...
They also say that, you know, there's grave consequences if you break the rules, hinting that someone at some point will break the rules and bad shit is going to happen.
As you saw, but this one girl getting dragged off into a car.
Okay, but the thing about this is, I've seen that movie before where there's a brothel, and if you break the rules, you get into batshit trouble. You know what it was called? It was called Sucker Punch.
Yes, but that movie was an action movie directed by Zack Snyder. And
written by Zack Snyder.
Very little relation.
I guess...
Plus, the trailer is beautiful. You see, I
don't know about beautiful. There was a lot of slow motion. I agree with you.
Right?
This trailer was very aesthetic.
If I had enough money to CG her out of the trailer and put in Zooey Deschanel, I'd contract someone to do it. Then present that trailer to you. Right? And
I think
one bad thing about it.
David, I think what you should have done is contract them to do it, but crop in Zooey Deschanel from New Girl just to piss Douglas off.
This coming from a man still watching New Girl.
Shut up.
I'm definitely going to see it, and clearly everyone else who has seen it has been falling over themselves.
No.
For this movie. I have not read one bad review for this movie from anywhere, and that is impressive coming from the internet.
I have one thing to say about that.
Yeah.
We've come across this before. Well, actually, more than one thing. There's this movie called The Double Life of Veronique.
Yes.
Let's not go there.
Movie called, what was it? Something about dog.
Dog
or something. I forgot about that one actually. There's Dogtooth as well. But no, you remember
Most
the movie? Dog. Yeah, that
yes.
one. The one with the little girl and
Yeah.
So we've seen that happen before.
Fine.
And then of course there's the Butcher Boy.
I think there were bad reviews for that movie.
I'm looking forward to watching this movie soon as I can get my hands on it.
Wow.
More so than the goddamn Avengers, I can tell you that.
No, I agree with that. I definitely would prefer to watch it than the Avengers.
And Andrew, you like, dislike this trailer?
I like this trailer very much. It reminds me that I actually am a film snob. Because while it tells you very, very little, especially for people who have no thinking capacity in their mind.
What? I need that shirt. Holy shit. You have no thinking capacity in your mind. That is amazing.
You see, this is why we need him on the podcast, you know, because for every fake story, for every ridiculous remark he makes, he comes up with a gem like this one.
Oh my lord.
Can I tell you? For the first like half a minute of you guys laughing, I was worried as to whether it was because I said something stupid or smart.
That is awesome.
Right, the trailer is just beautiful to watch, and it just looks like a movie that I want to see. And it could, like, just like watching trailers for movies like, say, The Tree of Life, it could pass or fail horribly or beautifully. And I'm willing to try out. It intrigues me, and that's what I like trailers to do, and that's what this trailer does. You guys still reeling off the capacity in your mind.
Yeah, that is impressive. And I can't wait to rub this movie in your face when it's better than Girlfriend Experience. Can't wait.
You know, funnily enough, I haven't watched the Girlfriend Experience since it came out.
Do you know why that is, Andrew? I can tell you why that is.
Let's not talk about that. Because you're just going to make me run towards watching that movie again this week.
Uh-huh.
And then
hate yourself
the
later.
The conversation could go either way.
Yeah. You'll just hate yourself when you're finished.
Alright, so the last trailer I wanted to talk about is the first trailer that came out for the new film by Steve McQueen, starring Michael Fassbender, aka Fassbottom, and Carey Mulligan, called Shame.
How'd it go last night?
Good night.
Uh-huh. Let's do it again tonight.
And my sister's playing downtown somewhere.
I stay for a few days. You're so angry.
That's my boss.
Hey, do you want to play?
Your hard drive is filthy. I mean, it is dirty.
Slowly.
Steve McQueen
did Hunger.
Wait, hold on. So he's done two movies.
Yes.
This
is the second film.
Five years.
In the anything.
No, but yeah. So how does that work? Because I'm pretty sure he died a long time ago.
No, this is I hope you're joking, because this is a completely different person.
Of course I'm
person.
Joking. I know who's the, who the new Steve
really
McQueen
Andrew,
is.
You hope he's joking?
I know who the new Steve
No,
McQueen
you see, I know Douglas.
You see,
Douglas sometimes mixes up names.
He's dead man is directing over. Andrew, you just took yourself from the height of all of this.
Right. I'm happy to be back here down with
not,
all the peasants.
Not 1 minute ago, right? We were amazed. No, you just kidding.
I'm happy to be back.
Alright,
yeah.
So the last time these two teamed up, I got Hunger. And Hunger is amazing. And I watch it at least once every 6 months. For that long, unbroken scene of the two of them talking, and to see the end of that film, because both are amazing. Now I hear that he's doing another movie with Fassbottom again and Carey Mulligan, which I also love.
Wait, you're talking about this movie?
Yes, I'm talking about this.
Oh, okay.
This movie, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to watch it. Now this trailer.
Jeez.
This trailer was very good. I am not impressed by this trailer. It gives away way too much, but none of that matters. I'm going to watch. I was waiting for this follow, like, since I heard about it a couple months ago. So yeah.
Your hard drive is dirty,
filthy. Michael Fassbender's in the movie, right?
Yep.
I think I'm going to watch it. Funnily enough, I wasn't a huge fan of Hunger when it came out. I saw... No, look. I can feel the eyes on me already, Damien.
Oh, sorry. What was that? That's not listening. This wasn't a big fan of. I thought you said Hunger.
There are many things about Hunger which are fantastic. Mostly the directing. But I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't there at the time when I was watching it. As in, mentally there, ready to see that kind of a movie. So I wasn't a big fan of it. I can see the potential, and I'm still looking forward to seeing more from this guy. I think I'm going to rewatch Hunger sometime soon, because I'm sure I want my opinion to change. I should have my opinion changed.
More thinking capacity.
In your brain. In my brain. It's in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Fassbender, I'll watch anything he's in. I keep watching X-Men. I haven't stopped. Douglas, are you still there?
I'm here.
Do you have any shame? Is your hard drive filthy?
My hard drive, it's not that filthy, I don't think. I mean, okay. Shit, the cab is filthy at all. I run Linux, come on. Really and truly.
That's why we can't save anything on your hard drive. That's why the internet is.
Damn right. It's all about the cloud, baby. No, this movie looks great. I've been meaning to watch The Hunger for ages. And anything... Well, I don't want to say anything with Fassbender, but generally... I see Fassbender in there, that's a plus.
His track record has been pretty good.
It has been. And Carey Mulligan has been doing very well for herself as well. And this movie looks beautiful. Also, even though Damien says that it gives away a lot, and I guess it does in the sense that it shows you, it kind of shows you where the title is coming from. But at the same time, I can kind of sense that the movie can go in a different bunch of directions away from what is shown in the trailer. And so that's a good thing, that you're not quite sure exactly what could happen, but at least you have this sort of situation. You know something about the movie.
I know if McQueen is directing it, it's going to be depressing, is what I mean.
Yep. And so I'm going to watch this as soon as it hits DVD. / Blu-ray, because I know that I'm not going to get to watch this at movie theater.
What happened to faith?
What happened to faith?
And hope.
Carib. Sorry, not Carib. Palace Amusement happened to faith.
I hate the wickedness of America. Rampant fornication, adultery, abortion, flagrant sexuality. Everywhere.
Hey, you fucking bitch, let me the fuck out of here!
And it's up to the righteous to curb the spread of his disease.
Moving on into the review. This week, I wanted us all to sit down and watch Kevin Smith's new independently funded and distributed Red State.
Was that really independently funded?
I believe it was.
Yes, it was.
Where's Palace Multiplex?
Douglas, can you come off this horrible site, please?
What are we talking about, Palace?
Is it like in Ultra Rios or something?
The film stars John Goodman, Melissa Leo,
Douglas, look, and
Michael Parks. It's about three teenagers who one night decide to go and meet up with a lady friend to go get laid, only to get captured by some religious extremists, and all sorts of shit goes down.
Why are they extremists? I don't understand why they're extremists.
They're terrorists.
I agree with them. Am I a terrorist?
Yes.
Alright. Never mind.
The first episode of this podcast we ever did, we reviewed then his new film, Kevin Smith's newest film, Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
Was that really the first movie that we talked about?
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Craig Robinson was awesome.
I wanted us to take a moment to talk about this film, which is his new passion project, which he decided to go on about like a madman with. We've always known his issues with religion, especially extreme, during his time when he did Dogma. Damien, what did you think of this film and his ideas?
I resent the fact that they presented this movie like a horror movie. It says Kevin Smith's horror movie or some such like this. This movie is not a horror movie in any way. It's not scary. Which was a bit disappointed. I'd expected some kind of horror movie, and this was not it. Kevin Smith his dialogue is what I have that what I take most issue with in this movie. There's people who do and say things that I've never heard people say, and having listened to his podcast, it sounds like only things Kevin Smith would say, which kind of annoyed me. But the movie itself was an okay movie. The movie is about, as Andrew said, the three teens who get abducted, and what happens when they try to escape, and what happens once the police gets involved. And the only exceptional thing about this movie is the
preacher man.
Right, it's the acting by, I don't remember his name.
Michael Parks.
Right, Michael Parks. He is truly fantastic in this movie and gives a performance that this movie really doesn't deserve. It is far, far better than anything else in this movie. A lot of the action, this movie feels cheap. It feels like they didn't spend a lot of money on this movie, which the movie can't get a pass for, because this movie exists.
And this movie is Moon, just to let you know.
This movie, I just said, look, a copy of Moon. Moon costs 3 cents or something.
Thank you. It costs $10 million, by the way.
And looks astounding. And we've seen people make movies on low budgets that look better than this. And we can't give the movie a pass for that. A lot of the acting from the other characters was also pretty bad. Their reactions to things happening in the movie seem off. There's one scene in particular where one of the girls inside the compound wants to get the children out of the compound and has asked one of the captured teenagers to assist her, and the entire sequence there made no sense, and the acting that took place also didn't help in selling that situation. And so the movie, it comes off as this, it feels like there's something missing from this movie. But having that performance from the preacher is the only thing that keeps this movie together. And it's good that they put him on screen for about 70% of the movie. So that really helps.
What happened was they realized how bad the movie was. And they realized how good he was. And I said, okay, I think we need to change this script a little bit.
In editing, they went, we need to get as much of him on the screen as we can. And then let the chips fall on either side. And so yeah, if the sheriff's reaction to what took place when he found out, his entire reaction didn't make any sense. Can I give it away?
Which part? The part when the guy's running?
No. When the preacher called to tell him. What was that reaction? I don't understand. His reaction to that, it doesn't make any sense. So,
are you talking about his initial reaction or what he eventually did?
Yes, his initial reaction. No, not what he did later on. His initial reaction. If I am the police chief and they're trying to blackmail me, but we know that these people are religious lunatics, it would be your word, the sheriff, versus a lunatic's
No,
word.
But they said they have evidence. They said they have photographs.
Andrew, yes. But if you go in with force and extract them, then you'll have enough time to search.
Yes. And what happens if you go in with force?
No, he wouldn't have known that. Find out. Yes, but he wouldn't have known that at the time. So his reaction. What did he do once he heard that? he cried and then thought about shooting himself. And then called in other people to do what he should have done himself. It just doesn't seem to make much sense. But movie's average. And it's not a horror movie at all. It's pretty much it.
Yeah, I kind of half agree with Damon. I really thought this movie was only okay. And as you say, Michael Parks, you say his name is Andrew, his performance was great.
Yes. we know him from such things as Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill, where he was the police sheriff, and he continued to be in Grindhouse. And in Kill Bill, he's the Cuban pimp in Kill Bill 2.
but this movie, I think probably my biggest disappointment with this movie was not even the things that Damien had to say about it, but there comes a point when the movie changes perspective very suddenly, and all of a sudden, you know, you're coming at it from a whole different angle, and just the way that they do that, you know, the way that they treat essentially all that has come before is a little bit light is not quite the word I'm looking for, but I don't know, it's almost as if they're not quite negating the whole of the first hour and a half of the movie, but what they're kind of downplaying it almost. And I really, that was probably my least favorite part of the movie. But other than that, I mean, to tell you the truth, when I can tell you that probably my favorite moments in the movie, other than, you know, the preacher, is when I was able to say, oh, there's Skyler White from Breaking Bad, or oh, there's, I think his name is Bill from Californication, you know. When I get kind of happy for a second that I see somebody that I know from something that I know is great.
There also was someone else from Breaking Bad in the movie, yeah, which made me happy. The deputy was from Breaking Bad. He was the stupid friend from the earlier seasons.
I remember I knew that I knew him, but I could not remember where. All right, fair enough. Yeah, but this movie, I guess, it just gets a 5, between 5 and 6, you know, because really and truly, and I'm gonna watch it again. I suppose it kind of gets a story across, and it doesn't do so badly, but just it doesn't shine. It never does. What shines is the individual, the one person.
And the story that it tells is just, I don't feel like that story is very, the story was very interesting. Even thinking back on the story, told a story of crazy religion.
Yeah, the truth is, I mean, I had actually watched this movie, or started watching this movie, before you had picked it, Andrew. I think I watched the first probably 45 minutes, and I had stopped for whatever reason. And the truth is, if you had not picked this movie, I probably wouldn't have finished it.
I want to start out by saying that I agree with Damien. So, pretty much most of what he said. Michael Parks is the best part of the movie overall. I was slightly disappointed that it wasn't a full-on horror film. And I also agree that 90% of everything that any character does or says isn't completely natural as much as it is totally a Kevin Smith dialogue that he's having with himself. But that's true of any Kevin Smith film that he writes. And that's what I like about Kevin Smith films when he's writing, in that he creates dialogue that, while it's not 100% natural, it entertains me and it creates something different than any other filmmaker would have done. If in a completely optimal world, I would have had Kevin Smith live out the rest of his days as just a writer, never a director. Because, to be honest, when you look back at all of Kevin Smith's films, it's never directing that he's been known for. It's for his writing.
Yeah, but
you know what, though? I would say
comedies, it doesn't work here at all. If while you can write quirky characters that say ridiculous shit when it's funny, because there's some people laugh at it and say, oh, you know, it's funny. So he doesn't have to be a fully realized character. He can just be funny. But he's writing real people in this one, but they don't say or act like normal people.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, Andrew, I don't know how badly he did in terms of directing this movie.
No, he did a good job in this movie.
Yeah, so your argument to say that he should never direct ever again, I don't know where you can get that from.
He
based
doesn't
on
want
this.
Him to direct ever again, he just wants him to write.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But why would you say that if you couldn't say, well, it's because he's a bad director, you know? I mean, I'm not saying he's a great director. But
yeah, that's the thing, right?
This
I'm
one
not saying
clearly shows that he's... I mean, there are some shortfalls.
This is movie number, what, 10 for him at this point?
Is it? I don't know.
Something like that. He's I don't have the list up, but I'm sure he's done at least 10 at this point. There's the two Clerks films, there's Jay and Silent Bob, there's Chasing Amy.
Let's say it's 10. Let's say it's 10.
Right? So, for number 10 to be the first time out of all of his films to show any form of directorial flair.
Well, but it's the first time he's needed to. All of his other movies have been...
comedies.
Yeah.
There's never any call for that.
Yeah, because all... especially in the type of comedies that he makes, all you really need to do is to point the camera at the people saying the funny things. That's really all it is.
And that's all people ask for.
Yeah.
That's all the movie demands. It's not like Hangover where they're having ridiculous chase scenes and shit like that. they're just saying funny things, and that's all the movie called. I kind of agree with you in the sense that he's clearly a better writer than he is a director. I think that's what you're trying to say. But at this one,
yeah, Damien,
you were saying something.
I want you to finish.
Oh, right. At this point, he if he's going to continue down this road of writing for more serious movies, that is to say, he's no longer doing out-and-out comedies. If he's going to continue making dramas, he's going to have to sharpen up that writing, because the writing in this was not very good, not at all. And if it weren't for the fact that the preacher was so good in his acting, a lot of the dialogue that he had would have fallen on its face. So he just needs to be better in both areas. The direction could have been better and the script could have been better. So this movie, while not terrible, I wouldn't recommend this movie pretty much to anyone.
But you see, therein lies where I disagree with you completely. Like, I felt the writing didn't have that many faults. And I remember hearing this one thing, which I believe is a quote from John Huston, is that 90% of directing is casting. Right? When you've written a role, and you've written a role like that preacher, and you start to look out for who you want to play that preacher, you know you need a Michael Parks. And that's why you get a Michael Parks to be the preacher. Because then it doesn't fall flat. Then it does what we want it to do, what the film makes it do, which is become a memorable role that we love. Think about how horrible Tarantino films would be if they were completely miscast. And you had someone like Damon Wayans Jr. playing Samuel L. Jackson's role in Pulp Fiction. It'd be completely useless. We'd be talking about how much of a hack Tarantino is, and he's over-glorifying his own writing. And that's And that's why Kevin Smith works, in that he casts the right people into his roles. Maybe he tailors the writing to the actors a bit as he's going along. I don't know how close his process is. I mean, you can definitely see throughout the films that he's made that he has a tight knit of actors who he calls upon. And this might be the first time in a long time that he's gone outside of that realm, but still happens to make the writing work for me. What I particularly liked about the writing is, even though, I mean, it was still a bit up with the character of Michael Parks, a bit more flair and a bit more enjoyment in it, even though it's supposed to be serious, but there were still a couple moments, a handful of moments, I don't think there were even as much of a handful now that I'm saying it out loud, where he took a second to have a little fun with the script. And I mean, there's especially one moment where John Goodman and all of the team are standing outside the compound, and things are going on, and they just take a moment, and you hear, I think it was John Goodman, or it could have been Kevin Pollak, say something like, "I wonder how much a cross-eye that costs." Right? And the guy responds, "You mean in dollars or common sense?" And it's just a funny moment, and it never felt cheap, but at the same time, I enjoyed it. And that's what I liked about the movie. I was particularly worried towards the third act, where something happens. I'm not going to give away what happens, but it comes out of the blue, and I thought for some reason at that moment that they were turning on some science fiction third act nonsense that came out of nowhere. But the way they explained it, I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was a really funny and good moment in the film for them to pretty much wrap up the whole of the movie. It's not a horror film, as we've said many times, and that's slightly disappointing, but at the same time I'm surprised, because I expected to hate this movie. Since after Zack and Miri make a porno, Kevin Smith has gone into constant public ranting and slight depression, especially the way that movie played out in the theatres. Didn't end up making that much money. And then after Cop Out came out, which I really don't want to talk about, the movie that he didn't write, but he directed. Yeah, it was.
Best movie ever.
Totally. Yeah. He directed it and he didn't write it. And it showed very easily that he had very little creatively to do with that film. And it really sucked. And it was the beginning. That was the beginning of me thinking Kevin Smith has finally gone off the deep end and is never going to do anything that good again. But then he came out with this project, which looked like a very involved passion project for him. So I was very excited, but at the same time, very worried. And I'm happy to see it defied my expectations.
You're happy it's mediocre. Alright.
I think it's better than mediocre.
I think you're incorrect.
So, just like Adam Sandler in Funny People, when you can hear the waitress's footsteps, you know you're doing something wrong. So I guess we have to say goodnight at this point. I guess we're pretty much not that impressed with Red State. I am, but you guys are like, alright, whatever. 90 minutes not wasted completely. You got Michael Parks.
I still feel like it was wasted.
Well, sad.
I hope he gets nominated for stuff though, because that performance was really good. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody.
No, Douglas?
Ditto.
Mm.
This movie's not great. As I said, between 5 and 6.
It's better than that. It's totally a 7 at least. Probably an 8, if I think really hard.
And if you keep going, you know, we could get to a 9,
like, I mean,
9.5.
The 3 and 9, well, you could give it a 9.
I have to increase my brain capacity.
And then if you shut off your brain and compare to Transformers, it's probably...
No, nine, no, no. David, you really have to start comparing it with Airborne, because that's right. The only movie you can compare anything with.
If all you've seen are Pauly Shore movies... Probably an 11.
And on that note, we can say goodnight. Thanks for listening. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast, which you can find at gmanreviews.com. Douglas, you're on Twitter, you're DJR Lost His Name, and you have your website, mashedbits.com, which you guys should go and check out, see what's going on over there.
So awesome.
Damien, he doesn't have a website.
Oh, no.
But he has Google Plus. Search for him. He's Damien White. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Gman Reviews.
That's what Google would have you think. No one is using Google Plus.
No, not really. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Gman Reviews. You can look at the website's fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/GmanReviews. And you can find all my writings there at GmanReviews.com. Once again, thanks for listening and good night.
You always heard. The ones you love, the ones you shouldn't hurt at all. You always stay the sweetest rose and crush it until the petals fall. You always break the kindest heart. With a hasty word you can't